welcome on this historic... We were polite enough to save the recording until after we finished eating this time.
That's true. So now we might just be, like, burping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So deal with it.
It'd be great if we could distribute, like, scent cards so people could, like,
scratch and sniff.
Yeah, sniff what the flavor of our burp is.
That would be nice. Mine would be, like, burrito.
Yeah. Mine would be taco, which is probably similar to burrito.
Probably pretty similar.
They'd both be cilantro.
Yeah, lots of cilantro, so...
Or cilantro, if you're picky like that.
Or an elitist.
Snobs.
So, what's been up with us? We chilled out with famous people or a famous person last week.
Yep.
Basically the weather's been kind of crappy and...
But now it's nice.
It's nice now.
So yay.
We don't have anything to report, do we?
Well, we were going to talk about teabagging.
We were, but I'm going to sneeze first.
Whoa. Wait
just
for
a
it. Wait for it. Such a tease.
I know. I'm sorry. we wanted to talk about teabagging, you know, being from the great state of California and the great city of San Francisco.
We're godless communist feminists.
Right, and teabagging is near and dear to our hearts, right?
Yes.
So,
do you think that the conservative people, did they start the term teabagging, and do they understand that it's become a point of ridicule?
You know, I don't know, and that's actually something I was going to talk about.
Okay.
So all these, you know, if you've been living under a rock, the teabagging craze is from grassroots, and you could see me making really emphatic air quotes, movement by conservatives to protest Obama's tax hikes for the super rich. Ironically, the teabagging movement is made up largely of people who are not impacted at all by the tax hikes, except that they benefit because they have tax cuts for their income bracket. Anyways, so there have been these grassroots uprisings all over America. It's been really inspiring, and I think Glenn Beck cried a little bit about it, and, you know, Sean Hannity has a huge hard-on for it, everything. But I guess they took their inspiration from the Boston Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having tea parties all over America in landlocked places.
Mm-hmm. Except the tea makes no sense in today's modern context.
Yeah, there's, like, absolutely no... aside from people putting it on their hats, like people wearing hats with tea bags dangling from them, I don't think there was actually really any tea present in all the coverage I saw. There was nobody, like, people weren't standing around with cups of tea or anything. They were just like...
True.
They just called it a tea party. So it was a tea party in name only, but...
Were standing around with big gulps of Dr. Pepper. And...
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So somehow, and I don't know where this started, whether it was the... like, within the movement, they started referring to themselves as teabaggers, or if it was somebody from outside. I can't tell if I think that that movement is so clueless that they don't understand the implication, or...
I like to think they are.
I do, too.
I mean, we all know that there's, you know, oodles of closeted dudes and ladies in the conservative movement.
Yes.
And they probably know that they like being teabagged. They just don't know what it's called.
Maybe.
Because they haven't embraced that part of themselves.
Though, to be fair, not all gay men and women like teabagging.
True.
Particularly the gay women, I imagine. But
I think if you could, like, teabag somebody with your boobs, maybe.
But then that's not really teabagging. That's, like, I don't know, like, grapefruiting?
It's cheese making.
Yuck. That's disgusting.
I revisited an old favorite this week, John Waters' Desperate Living. And there's this great scene where Mink Stoll goes into the bathroom in the Mortville, where all the murderers and criminals go to hide from the law.
Mm.
And she goes in the bathroom in a bar, and there's, like, a glory hole, but it's for boobs. And there's a lady sticking her boobs through the glory hole, and she's like, "No, leave me alone!" She's, you know, this horrified, straight, mm-hmm. urban housewife. It's very funny. So, but back to teabagging.
Back to teabag. I mean, what? I don't really, I guess I brought it up and now I don't even really know what to say because it's so profoundly stupid that it kind of, you know, lampoons itself, but.
Well, I think it's like, I really liked what Shane said on his blog, which is that, you know, there's some people who have a baby and they act like they're the only person on earth who have ever given birth before and they won't shut up about it. And that's essentially what the right wing has done is they've given birth to their first baby, which, you know, baby being protest in this case. And they think they're the first ones to ever, you know, have a grassroots movement or accomplish anything, you know, because basically, I guess it is their first time, you know?
Yeah,
they're used to having everything their way. And they think it's like they've invented the concept of the protest. And in that regard, they also don't know what doesn't really work, like comparing people to Hitler.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's I'm trying to cut back my use of this term, but I can't think of another way to say it. Their baby's retarded. I mean...
The baby has severe developmental disabilities.
It does. It does. I mean, I cannot think of a more ill-thought-out grassroots movement, you know.
It was an incest baby, we'll be honest.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it was an incest baby. And I guess it's not really the baby's fault that it's got a few problems. But
we have nothing against tea bags in particular.
No.
Or balls.
No, or developmentally delayed babies.
Yes.
Right. But, but what the fuck? Like, as somebody who's been to a few protests mm-hmm. in her day, and I know you have too, Erica, you...
One or two.
Agitator. I mean, and I've seen a lot of stupid shit at left-wing protests.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like Edmonton, my hometown, has kind of the same group of, like, 25
mm-hmm.
nut jobs who kind of show up at everything all the time. And I know that San Francisco has mm-hmm. has a similar kind of nut job movement where it's almost like they're their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily even agree with the protest. They're there for something else. But
we've definitely got the 12 Galaxies guy.
Right. Frank?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's always somebody at one protest or another, and it's not always the same person, but you can usually count in San Francisco, you can usually count upon somebody showing up naked.
Yeah, and I mean, it's annoying. I don't like it when I go to, like, an animal rights thing or something, and somebody shows up going on. Like, if I go to protest the rodeo and somebody shows up with, like, you know, no dog breeders sign, and you're just kind of right. Like, okay,
you're a little off message.
Or, like, abolition now, and it's like, okay, seriously? You think that that's going to play to the rodeo crowd? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or worse, you know, where someone shows up and they're just totally cross purposes with what you're trying to say, mm-hmm. but they're trying to help and they just obviously are stupid.
Or if, you know, you're trying to save gay marriage and you show up in a KKK outfit.
Right, exactly. Like
with a flaming torch.
That sucks when that happens.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Not to mention it kind of muddles the message.
Yeah, it
not really,
really does.
Sure which side you're on. When you go that crazy.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, you see, I'm sure that all of you people who have managed to download this, you know how to use the internet. So you've probably seen the slideshow on the Huffington Post and all the pictures that have been thrown around the internet of the people's protest signs, like, Hitler was a good speechmaker too. you know, Obama as Hitler signs and the thing is,
I saw one sign that said, taxpayers are the Jews for Obama's ovens.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that one,
and
too.
I thought, really? Really? Is Obama killing people? Really? He's
right.
Mass murdering people? Is he committing a genocide in America? Really? You think so?
Yeah. Hmm. And, you know, but you see all those things, and I think my first impulse was to be a little bit charitable and think, okay, well, they've done what the right-wing media always does to left-wing protests, which is, like, you pick out the couple of crazies and then
true.
You plaster their pictures all over the place. So I kind of went looking for more, you know, balanced reporting on these things. And the thing is, like, that's the message. The message is essentially that Obama is a socialist evil person. Like, that is the core message of this whole thing. It's not like they're saying, we would really prefer it if he taxed people of, you know, this income bracket at this percentage. Mm-hmm. They're saying, like, no taxes ever, I think, is one of their central point, because taxation is slavery. And that's, like, a central, you know, well-accepted view within this group. They're also saying, like, that any taxation is socialism, which is also, like, a central pillar of this whole Tea Party thing. And then they're saying, like, that Obama is, like, a fascist dictator. And that's the other thing. You know, they're talking about fascism and how this government is a fascist government. And that's not, you know, and it's not the crazies. It's, like, the reporters. Like, that Fox News reporter who said, like, wake up, America, and fight fascism, or whatever the hell he was going on about. And it's kind of disturbing. He looked a little like my high school boyfriend. My high school boyfriend was cuter, for sure.
Oh, the guy with the long hair?
But, yeah, he had that same hair.
Yeah, I was thinking, that guy, he's got a bit of a scruffy look for a Fox News journalist.
Yeah.
Maybe he's their mole. They send him undercover into college groups. I bet he has mad acoustic guitar skills.
Oh, probably.
And he infiltrates these groups.
He's probably written a whole solo album based around the works of Ayn Rand. He has 500 copies of it sitting
I'd be willing to wager he's infiltrated a vegan potluck or two in his time.
Oh, probably. Probably. He can even probably make a tofu scramble. But, yeah, so I guess I don't really know how to respond to a movement that is, like, so insane at its core. It's
so
not
how,
like,
how do they propose, you know, since taxes are slavery, how do they propose having fire departments, police departments, city halls?
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and pay for it.
Oh, right, okay.
You know?
So who pays for the streets when they're all filled with potholes and stuff?
Again, I mean, bootstraps. Come on. Bootstraps. I mean, if you've worked and if you've invested your money wisely, there's no reason why you can't pay for your own roads, fire departments, police, you know, Social Security, retirement. Yeah.
We all start out on a level playing field, Jordan.
Yeah, we do. And, like, what kind of loser are you that you... that you think that, like, the government should be paying for your roads. I pay for my roads. What have you been doing? I don't even drive and I pay for my roads.
I hover everywhere, so yeah. That's not a concern for me.
Oh, okay, I guess. Yeah, but do you pay for your airspace?
No, I'm not a communist.
Yeah, okay, well, just checking.
I pay to keep other people out of it.
Just checking, you know. Yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting. That would be an interesting case study if we could, like, put all these people in a bubble.
Give them the state of
Utah.
They
could have Utah.
I don't like that state. You guys can have it.
They can have Utah, and then...
You can have your perfect little taxless society.
Yeah. But that would be really interesting to see what happens. Like, do, like, a Truman Show thing where... Or, like, a reality show. Oh, my God. We have to pitch this to Fox right now. We'll have a reality show.
A weatherproof dome over the whole of the state.
Yeah. We'll put people in there, and we will say, okay, everything is like it is right now, but there are no taxes, and there's nothing, like...
The guy wearing a shirt that says Obama is Hitler is your new president.
Well, but there's no president because they don't want government.
That's fascist.
Because they're, like, bloodsuckers. So, are these people basically anarchists?
Probably.
But without any of the kind of, like, collective tendencies. They're just, like, out for themselves anarchists. They're the asshole anarchists.
Selfish anarchists.
Not the, like, you know, social justice anarchists.
The good of the whole anarchists.
So basically, are, like, the right and the left kind of meeting? Is this, like, the genesis of, like, a completely new third way?
The crazy way?
No, the anarchist way.
Oh.
The anarchists are finally going to gain some credibility because these, like, right-wing nut jobs and Fox News are apparently into it. And then the right wing, I don't know. This is all a little mind-boggling to me. But I do think we should pitch that as a reality TV series.
I'm picking up gray matter off the wall as we speak.
What can we call it? We could call it, Freedomville. And what do you think? Do you think it's better to have them, like, start from scratch and be like, okay, here's a big, like, area of land. And there's, like, all the resources that you need, but, like, go ahead. Let's throw
them a bone. We'll give them some infrastructure because, you know.
Like, a city, but just
because they think they could so obviously improve upon the current infrastructure. Let's see how they do it.
So we'll give them a city, and then we'll just take every bit of government out. So, like, there's no fire departments or police or municipal government or schools.
Or libraries.
Libraries or any of that kind of bullshit.
Try checking your internet now, bitches.
Yeah, no kidding. And we'll see what happens. What is your prediction? I'm going to guess that by the end of the experiment, they'll all be socialists.
I'm a little more pessimistic. I'm going to guess that within the year, well, within the first 3 months even, I wager that it would devolve into a post-apocalyptic survival scenario. With roving gangs of, like, road warriors.
So can we put Mel Gibson in there, too?
Well, he's an asshole, so let's throw in anyway. He'd probably be into it anyway, so.
Yeah,
they would just be roving around. Everyone would have guns. They'd probably just shoot each other on sight because they're so distrustful of other human beings.
True.
And also it means you have to share less that way.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it would be, like, a free-for-all slaughter fest, basically.
All right. Well,
maybe we can place bets on how this will all turn out. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned, everybody. We'll try and pitch that and get it made, and we'll let you know what happens.
Awesome. It'll be like Big Brother, but in an entire state.
Yeah, and with, like, even stupider people.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck,
as if that were possible.
Fuck publicizing your own death. Publicize, like, the
decline of American civilization.
Yeah, no kidding. In real
time.
Top
that.
Well, okay, I guess we could stop now, because, you know, that's basically our masterwork completed, so.
And I think I'm going to take a moment to pause here and insert the rap song from Teen Witch that I've been singing, so.
I don't know Teen
Top
Witch.
Top that. It's pretty awesome.
When I snap my fingers and these bodies say short, I'm hot, and you're not. But if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot. Top that.
Oh my God.
You can dream until you're blue, but you will never top that.
Let's go back the other way.
No, just go up and then talk to him.
Are you kidding? I'm so embarrassed. Look at how funky he is.
Disconnected, not respected. Who would ever really want to go and top that? Such a waste of pretty face, but hanging in your nose space. I wish that you would take a look and really stop that. Top that. Well, stop that. I don't really give up about trying to top that. Top that. Stop that. I wish you finally take a real look and really stop that.
What's this?
Stop that.
But yeah.
Top that. I don't really give up about trying to stop that.
Top that.
Big deal.
Stop that.
I just spent my last $6 on a burrito.
That is nothing to be ashamed of. At least you didn't spend your last $6 on a crack rock.
That's true. It was tempting to spend it on a beer. Or two. Or like a six-pack from Trader Joe's.
Yes!
I
love that Simple Times lager. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
I love that they just made no compromises with the title. They're like, we know you're drinking to feel better.
Yeah.
Call it Simpler Times.
And we'll bump up the alcohol content.
Yeah, we'll bump
bit.
Up the alcohol content, lower the price, call it Simpler Times. It's a recession. You want to get drunk.
Yes.
Trader Joe's understands. They know
they
how
do.
It is.
They really do. Good old Trader Joe's.
Joe is a compassionate soul.
Yeah, so who is Trader
he may
Joe?
Be. I don't know.
Is he anything like Trader Vic?
Maybe they've, like, fought each other for rights to the trade routes.
Maybe, because they're, like...
Many a battle has been staged between traders Vic and Joe on the shores of Tahiti.
Is that, like, a West Coast thing, the whole trader thing? Because, like, I was really struck by that. And then Trader Joe has that whole, like, Hawaiian thing going on. I don't know why. And then Trader Vic, obviously, is, like, you know, cheeky guy. So he's into that as well.
Yeah, I don't know what's with the trader thing.
Maybe they're brothers.
Oh, maybe.
That would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
One of them's, like, you know, the booze empire guy. And one of them's, like, the weird supermarket.
Cheap snacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So where do we go from teabagging?
Well, I saw this really amazing video last night on YouTube that, and I've seen similar videos to it, where, I'm trying to think how to describe it. It's basically, it's like a, you know, it's a low-rent music video. It's obviously some, like, local independent rapper, and he made a music video for his song. I think it's called, like, Buckle It Up or something like that. And the music, the video makes no sense. You know, it does not clarify the lyrics or what buckling that shoe or whatever actually is. But the video basically consists of three girls in various locations in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're doing is, like, spreading their legs and, like, doing that booty bounce thing.
Oh, my God. The booty romp.
Booty romp. Which I cannot physically do because I have the white person gene.
Actually, I have a white male friend who can do it.
That's impressive.
Quite impressive.
Trust me, I've tried. In the, you know, at home. In a controlled environment where nobody can get hurt. But it's not happening. So I admire their ability to do it, but at the same time, it was just like 3.5 minutes of these women, like, basically, like, bouncing their ass around, and, like, the camera would, like, get way in there and just, like, zoom in on their crotch. And, like, there was one part where, you know, like, the girl's, like, an inch off the ground. She's basically, like, humping the ground. And it was just, like, 3.5 minutes of that. And I was like, you know, I get it. I understand that you're appealing to, you know, misogynist dudes that like to watch that kind of shit.
Or,
but,
like,
after 3.5 minutes, really? Doesn't it just get old? Can't you just loop, like, do a loop of somebody doing that for, like, 10 seconds and just loop it for 3.5 minutes?
That's probably just the average amount of time that it takes for those dudes to jerk off.
Probably.
You know.
But it also struck me as sad that, you know, that modern, contemporary, like, nightclub dancing has kind of devolved to where it's basically just simulating fucking all the time. Which I know a lot of dancing styles have an element of that. I mean, even, like, swing dancing simulates intercourse in places, and certainly, you know, certainly the tango.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, more contemporary dances as well. But this was just straight up grinding, you know? Mm. Like, you could, like, computer generate a penis in there, and it would just be a porn video, basically. Because it would not be out of context at all. And I was like, you know, just, it just kind of made me sad for those ladies.
Yeah, I suppose. But then it takes you right back to the whole, like, are women subjugated if they're deciding to do that kind of thing?
I don't know. I feel like that kind of thing, I don't know, it's
a fine
line.
Because,
you know,
if I could do that with my ass, I might. I mean, if somebody offered me money to do it for a long time, like, I might be like, yeah, okay, I don't care. I have this special skill. God gave me this
but
ass.
At the same time, it's like standing and, like, doing jumping jacks and let somebody just tape your boobs while you do jumping jacks. It's just titillation.
A bit of money. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, it's kind of the same as porn, right? Where it's like, yeah, okay, I'll, like, have sex with 100 guys if you pay me enough money. I don't know. I think, like, certain people kind of have what it takes to do that and not lose themselves and not become subjugated and not, you know, not be miserable, and it makes them, you know, it's like, it's just a job. And I kind of wish that I was like that, because goddamn, like, I could go down to the local unionized strip club and get myself a job and make some money, some good money, and be part of a union and a co-op and everything, and that would be pretty awesome. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
I don't know. I think when, you know, I agree that there's certainly a lot of women that agree to that kind of thing. They don't have a problem with it. And they, you know, sometimes people say they feel empowered by doing that sort of thing. And I'm not denying that. I mean, obviously, I can't be the decider as to what somebody's opinion is on something. But in those types of situations, the women aren't necessarily, in fact, they're rarely in control of how those actions are portrayed.
Yeah, that's true.
And how they're marketed, and how they, especially how they affect other women.
Yeah, that's
true. So that's my concern. I mean, if you want to bounce your booty all night long, that's your business. But, I don't know, it bothers me that, you know, and obviously this isn't specific to that video, but it just bothers me that in our society in general, everywhere you look, there are women being sexualized. And that's just, you know, one tiny, tiny grain of sand in the entire beach of misogyny. So.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And, like, not to get all heavy, you know, blah, blah feminism, because, who cares? But
yeah, nobody cares about feminism. Fuck that shit.
Like, I understand what you're saying. And I agree with you. I guess I agree with both sides, because I'm a very strong believer that there is more than one type of feminist.
Oh, yeah,
I've had my trial by fire in my undergrad degree where, you know, I basically did battle with the girl in my class who used to put up her hand all the time and say, every woman's worst fear is rape or something like that. And so we did battle for pretty much the whole semester where every time she would put up her hand and say something like that, I would put up my hand and say, I'm a woman and my worst fear isn't rape or whatever.
My worst fear is being eaten alive by spiders.
Right, or like frogs or, you know, math or something like that.
Balloons.
Right. and the professor is really sick of it by the end. But I think she sided with me at the end. But anyway.
Awesome.
So I'm with you. It's definitely a complicated issue, and I don't know really how to solve it when it comes to especially like how these images are portrayed and everything. I mean, it's more the effect on other women. And I guess, like, the legal part of me says, well, I mean, anybody, whether they're sexy or not, or whether they're a woman or not, or whether, you know, no matter who they are, can be an asshole to other people and not give a shit about other people and do things that make other people feel bad, within reason. So why should this be any different? Mm-hmm. You know, why should we put this kind of moral obligation on women who can market themselves and make money with their bodies? And I agree with that to an extent, but at the same time, it's like, you know, sometimes I see stuff like that and I'm like, God damn it. Like, us women need a fucking union. Like, we just need to get together and be like, okay guys, so how about we just try not to do things that make other women feel like shit all the time? Are we cool with that? Like, okay, models, can you knock it off with the, like, 80 pounds at 6'2"? Please, could we, like, just not do that? Because it's undercutting your sisters and it sucks. Which gets me to the fashion industry, which I think is way worse than the porn industry. Because fuck the fashion industry.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. That, I mean, goddamn. I can't deal with it. I can't even talk about it because I can't deal with it so hard.
Yeah. Getting aggro.
Yeah, I'm going to turn into the She-Hulk here. My favorite superhero from when I was a kid.
That would be kind of awesome.
I
was more of a He-Man person myself.
Really? I liked He-Man and I liked She-Ra, but when I started like reading comic books, the She-Hulk was like totally, God, nice. She was so awesome. She was like my idol.
I think my female idol is probably Gem and the Holograms.
I liked them a lot, too. And then I'm ashamed to say it, but I suppose I was 6 years old. But I got taken in by the Barbie and the Rockers thing.
Oh.
I didn't like Barbie until they had the rock band. And then I got it, and it came with the tape, and I, like, learned all the words and got up on the dining room table and sang.
Are you seriously comparing Gem and the Holograms to Barbie rock band?
No.
Barbie and the Rockers.
But when I was younger, I...
Because Barbie and the Rockers are the Spice Girls of
the
toy
world.
Oh, I know.
Hey, 28-year-old music major me knows that.
Whereas I like to think of Gem and the Holograms as more like Bikini Kill.
Yeah, okay.
My outfit yesterday, I was wearing these like crazy like leggings that look like birch trees. And, like, a dress, and I've got, like, purple streaks in my hair right now, and I realized that I look like I belonged in the Misfits, and that made me really happy.
Yeah, that actually, that was pretty cool. I remember I had one of the dolls of Jetta. She was the saxophone player in the Misfits. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, my goodness. guess it wasn't that important.
I think they, yeah, I don't know, whatever. It was probably like another stupid credit card offer or like...
yuck.
Anyways, what were you talking about? The Misfits.
The Misfits.
The, not the real Misfits, but the fictional Misfits.
Yeah.
I didn't know who the actual Misfits were when I was really into the Misfits.
I don't think most kids into the female Misfits know who the punk Misfits are.
Yeah, they probably don't know. I mean, I know them now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. How did they get away with that? Like, that must have been, like, if the Misfits had wanted to sue, they probably could have sued, like, really hard. They probably would have basically been guaranteed a win.
We'll have to look into that. You're gonna have to do some legal research on that one.
Yeah, I will. Maybe they can sue retroactively. No, I'm sure that the statute of limitations is definitely, definitely gone. Unless they're still making revenue from the DVD sales, in which case, maybe. Anyway.
I need a DVD of Gem and the Holograms.
Man, I wish that was on DVD. We'd have, like, a gem party.
Is it not on DVD?
Oh, maybe it is. Is it?
I think it is by now.
Hmm. Gem party.
Gem is excitement.
Ooh, so what do you think about Gem as a role model for little girls? Now that we're talking feminism and annoying, you know, topics like that.
Well, I guess in a way she was my role model. And she tells girls that it's okay to lead a dual life. And to lie to the ones that you love in your life.
And to have a, like, magical transforming computer.
Yeah.
Named Synergy.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it also taught young girls that it's totally cool to dye your hair crazy colors.
I like that.
Yeah.
I liked that aspect of it a lot. The thing that I wish that they'd done more is I wish they'd emphasized the whole DIY aspect of being in a band a bit more. Instead of just being like, you need a magical computer and then you can be in a band.
Well, didn't they have a manager too?
Yeah, they had a manager.
And a big record label or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I wish that there had been the message in Gem, like, go out and get a guitar, pester your parents for guitar, learn to play guitar, because if they'd have done that, I would be really good at guitar right now.
Yeah. True.
Instead of sucking like I do. I've talked about girl bands before, but I think the Gem was and the Holograms were actually one of the better ones.
Yeah, they're trailblazing, man.
They were. They could actually play their instruments. They weren't like five singers, right? They were like, you know, the guitar player and the bass player and the drummer and
the keyboardist,
and one singer.
Mm-hmm. They also had a person of color in the band.
That's true, they did. They did. Though no...
And there was that one nice girl in the Misfits that always felt bad when they did mean stuff to Gem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And yet she hung out with those jerks.
She was just kind of dumb, I think.
She was a follower.
Yeah, she was a follower. So that taught people that if you're not standing up against injustice, you may as well be committing it yourself.
I think she was just really insecure.
Probably. Was she the one with blue hair?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember any of their names except for Pizzazz.
Pizzazz!
Which was the best name ever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. God, okay, yeah, so there was Gem, whose alter ego, was it Jerrica?
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst name ever.
Hey, come on! I did go as Gem one year for Halloween. It was pretty fun.
You would have been a good Gem, I think.
Thanks!
Yeah, and then there was Pizzazz and Jetta, and I can't remember any of the other names.
Me neither.
And Synergy, the computer. Like, God, what an 80s capsule that show was. Yeah.
Awesome.
Gem.
The opening credits give me a seizure of awesomeness.
Really?
There's just so much going on there. And every bit of it is awesome.
I miss those kinds of TV shows.
So speaking of name, did you hear this thing about the Texas legislator who wants... She made some speech in the House of Representatives or something about how Asian Americans need to change their names to things that are, like, better understood by Americans or something like that? And she was referring specifically... I was thinking, like, does she mean, like... You know, because... I know some countries' names can get really long. Like, sometimes I have trouble with Thai names or, like, Indian names or something. I mean, obviously, I'm not telling people they should change their names because that's fucked up and racist.
Yes.
But she's talking about, like, she said something, she referred to somebody specifically, and, you know, she was talking about people who had last names like Chow and Tom and Lee, and I'm like, really? You have trouble understanding that?
What?
Because, you know, I mean, here in San Francisco, and I'm sure there are people in Texas who are, you know, like, fifth generation Asian American or eighth mm-hmm. generation Asian American. It's not like, you know, this is the first time we've ever heard of a surname that's not Smith or Jones. It's...
Yeah.
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 But she's saying, like, you know, people need to blend in. They need to adapt to America. Or they need assimilate. That's the word. They need to assimilate to American culture. They need to pick last names that are easier for Americans to pronounce and understand.
Hmm.
I'm like, what's so difficult to pronounce about three letters? Like Lee or, you know,
yeah.
a monosyllabic last name. I mean, leaving
I'm
aside
speechless.
The whole fucked up racist aspect of it, it just makes no sense beyond that.
I'm completely speechless. I don't even know what to say. That's
I mean,
so...
Yeah. I mean, some racists have their stupid little logic, and you can see how it makes sense to them
yeah.
in their stunted little minds. But this doesn't even make sense.
No. No, this doesn't make sense at all. What? So...
And she defended her speech. She's like, it's not racist.
So she wants, like, Yang Lee to change his name to John Adams? is that it? Or does she
the
just...
The stuff I read wasn't specific on given names, on first names.
Okay.
It focused more on last names.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, you know, maybe she's got a system set up or... not sure.
Okay. Well, good luck with
yeah.
that, Texas.
Yeah, let us know how that goes.
Yeah.
We're waiting on the edge of our seats.
Yeah. And, Jesus, the Smith section in their phone books is about to be, like, 50 pages long.
Seriously. Which reminds me of a funny joke I heard. There was this, I think it was a British comedian, and he was well known for being very rotund, and he once said, I have more chins than the Hong Kong phone book.
That's a knee slapper, a real classic.
Yep.
Well, I want to change my last name.
To what?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just want to change it, and I don't know what. Mike does, too. So we're going to change our last names, but we don't have any ideas.
Suggestions for Jordan's new last name can be emailed to thecosmopolitanhour@gmail.com.
Yes, so far the only thing that we kind of agree on, but we also probably wouldn't do, is Ramon. But, but you know.
How about Dirtbag?
Well, that's not so good on a resume.
Oh.
I mean, what do you think my business meeting would have been like today if I'd have showed up and said... Hi, I'm Jordan Dirtbag.
Well, there's that guy who's, like, the second biggest MySpace celebrity after Tila Tequila, which is not a trophy I'd put on my mantle, but, and his name's Jeffrey Cuntstar.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's,
holy
like, this,
shit.
Like, totally fabulous, enormous drag queen. Who poses with, like, cereal coming out of his mouth and stuff. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. His name's Jeffrey Cuntstar.
That's really interesting. I mean,
yes.
Sometimes people use the word cunt in parts of their, like, names or, like, online handles or whatever. And I look at it and I'm like, do you realize what you're saying? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's so weird that I'm just like, do you realize...
Every time you go to a job interview, you're... Employer, potential employer is going to Google you and find that MySpace page or
yeah,
Facebook yeah. page.
I don't know. Maybe that should be our like side racket. We can start like cleaning up people's online
yeah.
lives. We'll be like, hey, have you been getting turned down for jobs because you know your alter ego, cunty bitch slap is like, is getting in the way of your professional success? Let us do the cleanup work. We'll be like that Sunshine Cleaners movie about the
totally,
sisters who
totally.
Decide to open
we can make
up a,
it,
like,
we can make it a total
place.
Racket like Yelp does.
Yeah.
We can set up job interviews for like, you know, these 90K jobs.
The people who are likely to be taken in by the ads that say, starting $5,000 a month, rock and roll company.
Yeah.
It looks for hip young gunslingers. Like, no experience necessary. We'll train. Like,
yeah.
Come and start now. We're in a fun environment. Like,
my favorite East Bay job ad, which has been going for a good 4 years now, is hippies with the flow.
That actually sounds more legit than most of the ones that I'm thinking of, but...
So yeah, we could get them to come to these, like, great interviews,
And then we'll just be like...
Send them an email like, you know, we were really impressed by you, but, you know, we found that these disturbing photos on your Facebook page.
Right.
And then, you know, someone who's not, you know, like, officially tied to us can contact them and be like, hey, do you need to clean up your page for employers?
Yes.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's enough people that have trouble with that kind of thing that we can really clean up.
Or if we really want to do it Yelp style, we'll hack into their MySpace page, add nude photos of them abusing animals, at a Klan rally.
What?
And then tell them, you know, offer them to clean it up for a price.
So what is this Yelp thing? I don't actually know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's right. I was talking with Melissa about that. I forgot that you weren't there. Well, there was a story in the East Bay Express a couple weeks ago about Yelp, and
What is Yelp for people who maybe
don't give
a shit about it?
Yelp is basically like the Yellow Pages, but with user ratings. So you can look up any business in your area and see what other people in your town or, you know, people who've been to that business from out of town have ranked it as. And then they can write reviews saying, you know, I had the best piece of pie here, or this guy was horrible. He showed up 2 hours late and he was really unprofessional, or, you know. So you can get a good idea of, like, you know, rather than just looking a place up in the phone book or walking by it on the street, you can see, well, what have other customer experiences been with this place?
Right, and there's a whole big controversy now where lots of businesses really hate Yelp because it means that their customers have a big platform to talk about what they thought, which kind of seems stupid.
Yeah.
But... You know.
I mean, when you're on Yelp, you can sort out the crazies, you know, like, they wouldn't give me a free cookie for my dog, you know?
Yeah, well, the best Yelp reviews that we've looked up was when Mike was having stomach problems, and I think we did a Google search for the San Francisco General Hospital to see, like, you know, if they had information or whatever, and the Yelp thing came up, so we looked at the Yelp thing for the San Francisco General Hospital emergency room. And they were all either 5 stars or 1 star.
1 star.
The 5-star people were like, you know, like, it's amazing that this place exists in the United States and we can go here and we can get, like, medical treatment. And, you know, like, it was a little bit of a wait, but seriously, like, these people worked their asses off for us. And, you know, we're totally grateful. Or it's like somebody who's like, they didn't give me heroin. So...
Well, the big...
That's kind of Yelp in a microcosm.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the big controversy with Yelp right now is the East Bay Express reported a couple weeks ago that a lot of local business owners report receiving, you know, pesky sales calls from Yelp. Like, if you place an ad, what you can do as a business is you can place an ad, and when people do a search for, you know, say you run a locksmith company, and if you do a search for locksmith, then usually it comes up according to the distance from where you're searching.
Right.
But if you pay for an ad, your listing will be listed at the top. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of how Google works.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of these business owners are reporting that Yelp is calling them, trying to push ad space on them, and they say no. And a lot of times they would find immediately after turning down a salesman that their 5-star ratings would be removed, or like 1-star or 2-star ratings would suddenly appear. And of course, you know, they interviewed Yelp for this story and they denied it. And they're, you know, it's an algorithm that we can't control. We don't, you know, we absolutely don't influence what shows up on a business's page, blah, blah, blah. But then, they traced some of those 1- and 2-star reviews that suddenly appeared after store owners wouldn't buy advertising space, and they were written by Yelp salespeople.
Wow.
So Yelp has a little explaining to do.
Yelp has egg on their face.
Not vegan.
I know, but, you know.
Yelp has arrowroot on their face.
Flax eggs on their face.
A little bit of mashed banana.
How embarrassing. Yelp.
How gauche.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's tacky, right? Like,
totally.
What is this, the 80s?
That makes no sense.
No,
but that's
I know.
Okay.
I know. So, speaking of making no sense or, you know, non sequiturs, I have a little bit of shit talking to do.
Yay!
Yeah? Okay. I think that you can probably join in on this one as I go too. So.
Oh boy, I'm gonna grab some water to moisten my throat and do lots of shit talking.
All right. I'll wait till you get back. And we...
We can't have any dead air.
Okay.
That's shit talking.
So shit talking. All right. I want to talk shit on people who ask for advice and then don't take it. I've noticed this trend.
Or ask a question and get really angry when you answer honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, but more the advice thing. You know, like, I give good advice, I think. You know, I don't update my advice blog much anymore because I'm lazy, but, I think I give pretty good advice.
You are a veritable Dear Abby.
Yeah, you know, of veganism.
Yeah.
But of life, too. You know, I don't have a perfect life, and I've done stupid things, of course. and I don't think I'm some kind of expert, but at the same time, I think I give pretty good advice. And I've noticed lately that people who ask for advice don't actually want advice. Instead, they want someone to tell them that they should do the easiest thing that they already wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this isn't a new realization, because pretty much everybody does this, and I'm sure that they have right back to, you know, cavemen, when they're like, I don't know, should I get this mammoth? I'm feeling kind of lazy. And then their neighbor's like, well, definitely, winter's coming, you should totally be prepared. And they're just like...
But I've got a bad leg.
Yeah, and they're just like, well, but, you know, I have to conserve my energy and stay warm by the fire, so I'll just do that.
And there's plenty of berries over there, I'll just get those.
So I really wish that people, instead of asking for advice and being like, my life is falling down around my ears and I don't know what to do, and then when somebody, like, takes the time to help them out... Mm-hmm. Then,
an older and wiser person.
Yeah. You know, like me, I'm really old and wise.
Not to be specific or anything.
Right. But I guess I just wish that the trend of asking for advice would die. And that instead, people would start asking for rationalizations, because that's what they're actually looking for.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, does that happen to you? Do you have,
do you have
people that...
I was thinking I remember there was one person in my life specifically who did that all the time, and I couldn't remember it, and it just popped into my head. It was some guy I used to date, and after we stopped dating, you know, he would call me all the time, and we would talk, and, you know, we were still friends, and he would just, like, moan about, you know, whatever girl he was totally in love with at the time, and he's like, you know, there was some girl he loved, and he wanted to, like, ask her to marry him, and there was just, like, a whole bunch of red flags, and, you know, like, she had a kid and was still, like, kind of with the father or something, or, like, you know, there were just a bunch of red flags where I was like, whoa, you know, slow down, and he was talking about, like, I love her, I want to ask her to marry me, and I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, I'd give him some really well thought out, reasonable advice. And then the next time I talked to him, he'd be like, you know, I told her how much I loved her and she broke up with me. Ah. What am I going to do? And, you know, so I would constantly be giving him advice that he would constantly just ignore. And I think she ended up marrying his best friend.
Oh, dear.
So obviously he should have listened to me, because I was right.
If only he'd listened to your advice, then yeah, mm-hmm. He could be married to this questionable person right now.
No, I mean, I was right about her being a psycho, and he should have gotten out of it sooner.
Ah, dear. Well,
But yeah, I do know that frustrating feeling where I'm like, why are you wasting my time talking to me if you're not going to listen to what I have to say?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what people need is...
What do people need?
More people need to be like the Jews. They need a wailing wall. Because obviously they don't want advice. They just need to go to their little wailing wall and be like, oh, I hate my life. What do I do? Oh, you know.
Well, you know, there kind of is a wailing wall on the internet.
The internet is a giant wailing wall.
The PPK in particular. You know, I think I'm going to change the rotating room to the wailing wall.
Nice.
I'm going to do that later today, actually.
Awesome. Yes, I have moved mountains.
Yes, you heard it here first, denizens of the PPK.
Well, this will be out on Monday, whereas you will be changing the room today.
That's true. So. That's true. So now you know what happened.
Yeah.
we talked about it on the podcast. Anyways, what do you think us, you know, level-headed advice givers, what should we start doing when people do that? Can we do anything? Well, are we powerless?
I have given it a little thought, and I think there are definitely people who, you know, unconsciously or not, kind of, there are definitely people out there who enable the kind of, like, you know, whambulance moaning by, you know, being overly sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, oh, of course, and... You know, obviously people shouldn't, you shouldn't be like, well, fuck you, too bad you got problems, I got problems too. But I think there's some people who, like, you know, they don't really know when to put their foot down and be like, okay, enough whining. And so, yeah, my kind of approach to people who I doubt will take advice from me, and really there's something wrong with you if you are asking me for advice in the first place, but
no, there are lots of people who are way, way, way less cool and awesome than you.
I could give you advice on, I don't know, what am I really awesome at?
Well,
blank. I could give advice on, you know, wearing your underwear inside out the entire day without realizing it.
So what would your advice be on that subject?
Don't sweat it.
Is that a pun? That's,
I've learned that through years of hard work and therapy. And now you can reap the benefits with a single podcast.
Now we're totally all benefiting from your experience.
But yeah, I've just gotten to the point where, you know, I'll humor people, I'll listen to them whine for a little bit, but, you know, once they start, when people complain, and I'm totally one of those people, when they complain, they'll get into a loop, and they'll just start saying the same things over and over again, and once, when you recognize that the loop is starting again, you need to put your foot down and be like, all right, here's what I would do, make it, you know, 3 bullet points, and then get the fuck out of there, or change the subject.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they're going to take your advice, they're going to take it. And if they're not, it doesn't matter how much you talk, they're not going to take your advice, so...
I think you're right. I think you're very wise.
Thank you.
But the thing that drives me crazy are all the other
people. Can I be called
people.
A crone?
No. Oh. Or at least not in the pejorative sense.
I would like to associate wisdom with crones.
Oh.
I like the idea of being a crone.
Okay, well then,
yes. A crone at 28.
A crone you shall be.
And, you know, if you were to ask some of the hippie-dippies around here, they would say a crone is a wise woman, and it's actually a compliment.
Okay. I guess I was using the Alberta sense of the word.
Yeah. It's all about drawing power from your yoni, Jordan.
Right. That's my vagina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. sorry, Joanna. Anyways, the thing that really...
Yes, apologies, Joanna. Yes. We'll never mention vaginas again.
Or yonis. Anyways... So the people that really piss me off, I think, maybe even more than the non-advice takers, are the people who, like, line up and have nothing good to say, but who are all like, oh, that's so hard. Or, like, when the person kind of gives them, like, somebody says, oh, my life is so hard, and this is why. And then, like, the awesome advice giver says, well, it sounds like this is what you should do.
Uh-huh.
And X, Y, and Z. And then
you mean Z?
No, I mean Z. and then after that you have like the 40 irritating enablers who come in and like, oh, your life is so hard. You should totally do whatever's easiest and most convenient right now. Definitely. Come on. Oh, hugs, hugs. Hugs. So, the hell. I guess I'm advocating.
Well, they probably have the best intentions, you know. And but you know, for a person to feel validated about how they feel is definitely important. But at the same time, yeah, sometimes you have to have a little tough love. Like, sorry you feel like shit, but, yeah. You know, you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a solution because it's not going to happen by itself.
Right. Your 20s are hard. That's just how they are. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I'm really agitating for some kind of, like, class-based society where there's, like, the advice givers, and then the, like, the wailing public, and then the, like, enablers, and the enablers will be, like, the scarlet letter people. Like, they'll have some kind of grave social stigma that they carry around with them.
And we'll all give 80% of our incomes to taxes.
Yeah.
And we'll have to bow before a portrait of great leader Obama every morning.
Right. And we'll have to get a picture of Karl Marx tattooed on our asses. Right.
Yeah. And we'll, you know, like in the Muslim world, they have prayer 5 times a day. We'll be teabagged times 5 times a day.
Right. Except the reverse, because if we're bowing down to Obama, that's exactly the opposite.
We'll have
of what
a
the
symbolic.
Want, right.
We'll have some kind of like.
We'll
maybe
be stepping on the teabags. We'll like. Everybody will put out a teabag and drop it on the ground in front of them and then stomp on it. How does that sound?
Sure.
Okay.
I was also going to suggest we could have, like, an object that is symbolic of Obama's scrotum and, you know, like, tap it on your head.
Oh, like that kind of teabag.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. I'm sorry. I was conflating the the two different kinds of teabagging.
Yeah, so great protest, right? Really strong, clear message there.
Right.
Good job, guys.
Right, right.
Clearly, the liberal left can learn a few things from protest tactics of the right wing.
yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about,
yes.
You know, because we've been talking the last couple days about, you know, offensive labels and offensive language,
mm-hmm.
and then people who use that kind of language about themselves as sort of a way of reclaiming it. And I wanted to bring this up because I saw a guy yesterday. I was on the freeway and I passed a guy in a car and he had a bumper sticker that I've never seen on any other car before. It was like bright yellow it was like fluorescent green, I think. It looked like a tennis ball and it said, "Warning, Asian driver." And I was kind of like, whoa. And I was kind of like, I was actually offended by it. And I'm like, then I remembered like there's an Asian dude driving the car and he picked out that bumper sticker for his own car. I mean, I very much... It's possible, but I very much doubt that he was, like, forced to drive that car with a demeaning bumper sticker against his will.
Though that's a horrible thing to have happened, it's a funny image.
Yeah, it is a funny image. We laugh at other people's misery.
Right.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I wasn't, like, part of me was like, that's offensive to me, but at the same time, you know, he went out and saw it and obviously felt... okay, reclaiming that kind of stereotype and,
mm-hmm.
like, flaunting it and kind of, you know, I guess refuting it, because I would assume he wouldn't actually put it on his car if he was, like, a really horrible driver. He's probably
right.
just doing it to freak out white people.
Yeah, probably.
Because, I mean, the other stereotype about bad drivers is women.
Right.
There's, like, oh, Asian drivers and, oh, women drivers. And I would never personally put a bumper sticker on my car that says, "Warning, woman driver."
I think I might, if I drove. I mean, I personally, I don't drive.
Well, I think my only problem with putting a bumper sticker on my car that warns people that I am a woman driver, or if I was Asian, an Asian driver, is that, you know, by and large, I consider myself to be a pretty good driver, but once in a while I like to do something really crazy. And, you know, it's like the same reason I wouldn't, you know, like, I get so annoyed when people... don't use their turn signals or use their turn signals when they're not actually turning and they forget to turn them off or something like that. I mean, I've been nearly hit so many times by people who do that. And, you know, there's all those bumper stickers that say, like, "Visualize using your turn signals, jerk," and, you know.
And I want one of those for my forehead.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, that one time out of 100 where I don't use my turn signal, I would feel so ashamed having that on my car.
But it would make you a better driver.
Maybe. It would hold me to higher standards.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True. But, you know, another example of that is a photo I saw on the interwebs of a guy. Somebody was obviously driving around in their car and saw this guy and took a picture of him. He had a truck with, like, 3 bumper stickers that said things like, "Hang up and drive. Don't talk on your cell phone. Blah, blah, blah." And you could see the back window of his truck cabin, and he had his cell phone up to his ear.
I like the snark factor, because it's kind of, like, that kind of thing, it's really taking the term and really throwing it back in the face of whoever. I mean, like, if somebody sees that and is like, I mean, I don't think anybody would see that and be like, oh, I'd better watch out for this car. He's seriously warning me that he's an Asian driver. And
well,
he's going
I don't
to
know.
That.
I mean, some parts of this state, some parts of this country, I could see people taking it seriously.
Well.
Oh, did the DMV start requiring that?
Yeah.
Maybe that in Texas, where, you know, where Asian people have such difficult to understand names.
Perhaps.
That might be the next step. You know, when you go to the DMV and you get your new driver's license, that changes your name from Chang to Smith.
Right.
And then they hand you the bumper sticker that says, "Warning, Asian driver."
Right.
And if you don't comply, then you are put into a camp. And
yeah.
Now I'm just sounding like a teabagger.
All your property is taken away and redistributed.
That's ridiculous. That would never happen in America.
Totally not. And certainly not Canada. Anyways, apologies on behalf of Erica and I to the Japanese, Americans, and Canadians who were interned in the internment camps in the Second World War.
It happened 35 years before we were born,
but
we
still
apologize.
Feel bad about it.
Yes.
Anyways, I guess that kind of thing I find more innocuous than the people who are like, I'm going to reclaim slut. The thing that I guess is the rock bottom of the whole issue for me is, like, if you feel comfortable referring to yourself as a slut or something like that, and that's just the example I'm going to run with because it's an offensive term and whatever.
What are you talking about offensive? That's my mom's nickname for me.
Shit.
Since I was a baby.
Shit. Wow, I'm
sorry. She called me her little slut bunny.
You Swedes. anyways. I guess if you want to call yourself a slut, like, that's, I think it's a little bit tasteless, mm-hmm. but I guess it's, you know, it's kind
but
of
But if you
want to
own it, hey, yeah.
Yeah, but if somebody comes to you and is like, hey, your use of the word slut, whether, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
is really, like, making me feel shitty, like, mm-hmm. you're hurting my feelings, and I'd like it if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we even really have to get into the whole political ramifications and, like, the social issues and sexism issues and the you know, all that kind of power and cultural studies nonsense that's not actually nonsense, but...
How dare you?
We don't even need to get into that. It's just, like, if you say stuff that deliberately makes other people feel bad, you're just an asshole. And if people are coming to you and they're saying, like, hey, what you're doing is making me feel shitty... And you're just like, whatever, I've made my judgment about you, and I'm just going to keep using this term because I feel like I can. Like,
because I don't like having to re-examine my understanding of social systems and my relationships with other people.
Well, yeah, like, but you don't even have to get into that. It's just like, if I'm like, Erica, you are such an idiot. And you're like, hey, Jordan, that makes me feel really bad when you call me an idiot or when you, like, refer to me as an idiot or whatever. And I'm just like, well, I don't care. I like the word idiot, and I think it describes you perfectly. So I'm just going to keep using it. I think that makes me an asshole. Not that I'm not already an asshole for 100 different reasons, but, you know, that in particular, it just kind of adds onto my asshole tally.
Jordan, it really makes me uncomfortable how you call everybody a Wapdago guinea, and I'd really like it if you could stop.
See, but that's not the thing. Then this is the other thing that people don't seem to get. It's like, you know, it's all well and good for me to ask other people to stop saying offensive things that offend other people rather than me. Like, you know, it's like if you're calling somebody like a WAP or something like that. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I'm not Italian, but just hearing that hurts my liberal soul. I mean, that's, I can understand how people hear those kinds of sentiments where I'm just like, you can't refer to the Italians that way. Yeah. They're a proud people. Like, you know, yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's a shitty, racist, crappy term that like came out of ignorance and like bullshit. But, I understand how people who oppose the political correctness movement, my eyes just rolled like all the way across the room.
Yeah. It was stunning. It was like that scene in Beetlejuice.
Totally. That's exactly what I was going for.
I've stretched my lips out, so I have like a big beak right now.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to dance to some Harry Belafonte in a couple minutes.
In a little while, yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing all black like Lydia, my childhood hero. But anyways, like people who like I can kind of understand. It's like the shitty racist logic or you know, where you're kind of like, okay, I can see how that works in your twisted little mind. I mean, it means that you're twisted and stupid, but I can kind of see how you would think that. I can kind of see how those people who are against, you know, the PC liberals or whatever can take somebody being concerned for a group that they're not a part of and just be like, fuck you, like, you busybody who's trying to impinge on my constitutional right to free speech. You know, like, it's stupid and it's bullshit, but I can kind of get it. But it's like, if people are saying, I'm Italian, and you calling me a WAP hurts my feelings. Like, you and me, we're in this situation, you're using this term, I'm being offended, can you stop it? It's like, if you can't respond to that, like, seriously, you're, like, some kind of crazy asshole.
And you can eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're saying something hurtful...
And that's our verdict.
Thank you. If you're saying something hurtful and somebody asks you to stop, stop, assholes. And on a slightly tangential note, people who judge people solely based on their economic status or their sexual criminal record or their sexual activity are also assholes in perpetuity until they shape the fuck up.
I have zero income, I'm a big whore, and I break the law every day. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Top that.
I'm breaking the law right now, and I'm not going to say why, but I am.
There are at least five ways we're both breaking the law right now. Can you guess three of them?
But seriously, you can't, you know, as somebody who's worked in legal aid organizations for a number of years and worked with people with criminal records and who have had drugs up their ass, and who have, you know, had a bunch of children with different fathers or who have fathered a bunch of children with different mothers. I mean, it is ignorant and hurtful in the extreme to suggest that all these people are of the same stripe and that they are somehow less worthy of dignity or consideration or anything else. And I think that it makes anybody who holds that kind of opinion look like, I don't know, some kind of backwoods hillbilly. But really, no, it just makes you look like an asshole.
Yeah. And a douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
A douche hole.
Did you see Lost this week?
I don't watch Lost.
Oh, shit. My shout out to all the Lost fans is my favorite line on last week's Lost was, that douche is my dad.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to have watched Lost to appreciate
the art
of that sentence.
Yeah, it's just an artful sentence. On that note.
Yeah.
We have.
It's been a whole hour already.
It has been. God, mind how the time has flown. So I guess.
Hopefully we'll be back next week with some more amazing shit talking. And
yeah, we should be back next week.
Maybe you'll have some exciting stories from Fresno.
I might. I'm heading out to Fresno. It's going to be hot. I'm probably going to get heat stroke. So I'll probably throw up. That's probably what's going to happen. And maybe I'll shovel some more rocks, which is what I did there last time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shoveling rocks.
It's, like, literally, seriously.
Do you have, a set of striped pajamas? Because I would love the visual of you shoveling rocks.
I really wish that I did. Or an orange
jumpsuit.
Get,
like, a little costume ball and chain, like, from Halloween.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that for Halloween, though.
That'd be great.
I'll be a chain gang member.
I think, after watching Desperate Living this week again for, like, the first time in a decade, I think I'd really like to be... either Queen Carlotta for Halloween or, what is it, Rasslin' Rita, who, have you ever seen Desperate Living?
Nope.
It's a great, great movie. And I'll just leave you with this visual. We can close the episode with this visual of Rasslin' Rita. And she, she's a female wrestler. And the reason she ends up in Mortville is because she ends up killing her opponent in the ring. So she has to flee decent society.
I see.
And live amongst the criminals. But her stage name is Rasslin' Rita. And she's got a white leopard print, you know, kind of like a one-piece swimsuit kind of deal, you know, wrestling outfit. And then, and her hair's like really teased. It's like this huge, like, you know, dry straw, like over bleached blonde hair with black roots. But the best thing about her outfit is that on the front of the leopard print one piece is a giant vagina. When she comes out into the ring, you know, everyone's booing her and, you know, she's obviously the underdog that nobody likes and she's going, yeah, yeah. And she starts fingering the vagina, like thrusting her pelvis. It's hilarious.
Oh, that is quite an image.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I want to be for Halloween this week. And, you know, last week it was like Otto from that German zombie gay movie and. I'm sure I'll have 10 other costume ideas before the time Halloween actually rolls around.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, dear listeners, that's it for this week.
I'll try to find a picture of Rasslin' Rita's outfit to put up on the podcast.
That would be awesome. See.
And we'll see you next week. Gem is excitement. Ooh, gem is adventure. Ooh.